Okay, you're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. This is the News and Views programming. Coming up first, we have in studio guests. We have Shireen, Maria, and Lugene from the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee. They're here to talk about a candlelight vigil and their first annual film fest coming up. Is it this month or next month?
It's this month. We started our community kickoff on Sunday, and our first films will be screened on October 23rd, starting at 6 p.m. at Zeitgeist.
Oh, okay. Right on. So how long has the New Orleans Palestine... I know y'all have been on the show before, but I haven't actually interviewed you, so I might ask you questions.
Yeah, no problem.
And it's always like starting over again a little bit. So how long has the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee been meeting?
For about a year.
Okay. For about a year. And what kind of things do y'all do over there?
We've done teach-ins. We've done interactive programs with the youth, and now we're doing a film festival.
Okay. What kind of interactive things with the youth do you do?
We did a teach-in at a church, and we got youth from Palestine to talk about their experience and how, like, the criminal justice system over here is similar to what they experience in Israel.
So, what are some of those similarities?
Targeted by race. Mm-hmm. Skin color, oppression is a very big thing. We had one student who was, one kid who was arrested in mm-hmm. Israel just for, like, walking down the street and being the wrong color. And he said the same thing happened over here, you know? So, like, the Black-Palestinian solidarity thing is definitely a true statement.
Yeah, sometimes there needs to be a unification of the brown skin, because we all do have similar kind of oppressions affecting
people.
Yeah, basically.
And that's one of the things we want to highlight at the candlelight vigil, which we're having on October 24th, is that solidarity, especially in a city like New Orleans. Recently, there was a case of an Eritrean young man, 29-year-old refugee, who, you know, escaped and was... in Israel, and just for being dark-skinned and just for being assumed to be Arab and Palestinian, he was, like, lynched by, like, an Israeli mob. And it's been a 10-year hike of extreme violence against Palestinian lives and anyone who's assumed to be Palestinian. So that's why we want to do this film festival and have the candlelight vigil.
So when's the candlelight vigil going to be?
Actually, I want to add one more thing to that. We're actually showing a movie on the second day of the film festival on Saturday, October 24th from 4 to 5:30 about Martin Luther King and mm-hmm. a play about him that toured the West Bank in Palestine, too. So there actually is crossover, and a lot of Black Lives activists from the U.S. go to Palestine and vice versa to share mm-hmm. resources. So it's kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But the candlelight vigil is going to be at 8 o'clock. And they're going to start at Zeitgeist, where the film festival is starting, and walk to Lee Circle. And we encourage everybody to come see the movies earlier mm-hmm. that day, since they start at 4 and go till 8. And we'll also have, alongside the vigil, a concert from 8 to 11, featuring social justice activists and artists.
Oh, right on. So it's the first, so it's on the 23rd at the end of the first night of the festival?
On the 24th, the second 24th. Day.
The second,
of the
yeah.
Oh, the second
yeah,
day.
The
okay.
second day.
Okay, so the 24th candlelight vigil, 8 p.m., starting from Zeitgeist, correct. Walking down to Lee Circle. Mm-hmm. So and that's significant as well because of the request for the monuments to be taken down. Mm-hmm. Is there kind of crossover? Are you working with those groups at all?
A lot of us individually go and attend events with mm-hmm. all activists around the city, and same, a lot of activists around the city attend our events. It's, I think, social justice is a cry for everybody. Mm-hmm. There's the James Baldwin quote, I can't say it exactly word for word, but if they come for you at night, they'll come for me in the morning. So I think there's really great work in the city just around intertwining a lot of social justice movements, and we are no different.
So what are some of the films that are going to be played at the film festival?
So the first night, the day one, on Friday, October 23rd at Zeitgeist, we're going to have the film The War Around Us, and it's a documentary, and it's a really interesting documentary because it kind of highlights this relationship between best friends who happen to be journalists who are find themselves in Gaza during 2008, and they just kind of tell their story of how every day under occupation can be so different. You know, and how what it feels like to like live in a constant state of war, to be under occupation, and being able to document that. I think it really highlights a lot of the call that Palestinians have, which is ending the occupation now. It really brings home how important it is to end it as soon as possible, and what that means for people. And then that same day from 8 to 10 p.m., also at Zeitgeist, it's going to be the film May in the Summer. And it just talks about like a Palestinian family that's in Jordan and their wedding, and just really going into, you know, what the significance of marriage, you know, really marriage, and coming from a Palestinian background. And even amidst all of that, there's such a beautiful unifying message of like love, you know, love while being Palestinian.
And then should we do the second day?
I mean, yeah, you can go through the whole
schedule. Oh, yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah.
No, I don't mind at all.
Film festivals, we're showcasing movies from, like, older movies and newer movies and a variety of different topics all about Palestine. So we're really excited about the lineup that we have.
And then if you want to go over day two.
So day two from 4 to 5:30 is the movie I talked about earlier called Al Helm. It's Martin Luther King in Palestine, and about a play about Martin Luther King and his work of nonviolence in the Palestinian territories. I think there's this idea that all Palestinians resist via violence, and there is another side of that story as well. When you, every day is a struggle, even existence, and existence in that space can be an active resistance. So that's a really great movie that's coming up. And then my personal favorite, from 8 to 10 o'clock on Friday, we're showing Slingshot Hip Hop, which is about the rise of hip hop and rap music in the occupied territories and amongst young Palestinians as a way to resist the occupation. And then right after the movie, we're going to be having a concert as well.
And it's also the night of the vigil, correct?
Yes, and that's the same night as the vigil.
Can you say some of the artists that will be playing at the concert?
Sure. We have... my friend A-Nun will be playing at the concert. We have Palestinian rapper Shahan, who's coming, a hip-hop artist. Manny King will be playing at the concert, so we're really excited about the lineup. We also have Samia, who's a spoken word artist, who will be speaking.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Akeem Martin.
Okay, right on. I know some of those folks. Sounds like it'll be a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And then the last day three, is Sunday, October 25th, again at Zeitgeist, starting at 5 p.m. this time. And the film we're highlighting is Palestine Stereo. I personally haven't seen this film, but it's a very powerful film of brothers and going into their story that they do they work with like a lot of music and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, after an attack, there was a case where one of the brothers loses his hearing, and the other brother, you know, and that also family members are lost, and living with that survivor's guilt that I think a lot of people who live under occupation and war face every day, that, you know, like, I was safe, but like my family wasn't. And also being torn of, you know, having this necessity to like have to leave, but also wanting to stay back home to be in the struggle and the resistance. So it's a really powerful film. Day three, Sunday, October 25th at Zeitgeist. And that would pretty much wrap up the first annual Palestinian Film Festival.
Absolutely.
So I'm not sure what your like cultural and ethnic backgrounds are or anything, but I'm curious as to what drew you to you know, become a part of or start the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee and, you know, start doing this work and focus on such an issue.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can start with Lujine.
Sure. Me on the spot, man. Just being affected by the images and having a heart and knowing that there are struggles, our struggle, and that we're all oppressed people, I wanted to do it. I've also like organized with other groups like in the past, but the Palestinian, especially during the occupation last year, really like affected me, you know. And I've been to Iraq, you know, and back, you know, I've seen stuff. But this, like, I've actually, like, wow, like, damn, you know, this is, kids are dying, you know, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. And it's, in a weird way, it's being justified, you know, in a weird way. So we wanted to bring that, I guess the ultimate goal is to bring, like, an opposite narrative, you know.
Yeah. The easy answer for me would be that I'm Palestinian. My parents are Palestinian. They came to this country when they were 20 years old, started a family and had a bunch of us kids. There's 8 of us total. But the better answer, I think, isn't just being Palestinian. It is also being a human rights activist. I've been working in many different, again, social justice movements since I was a kid. There's a picture of me as an 8-year-old holding a sign that says human rights matter. And that's kind of a joke in my family, but I do think it's important. Mm-hmm. I've had the pleasure of going back to the Middle East quite a few times and had a chance to volunteer in a refugee camp in Jelazon, which is in the West Bank. And it's hard to ignore the occupation and the negative effects it has on everybody. As Americans, we pay $3 billion a year in tax money. And I don't know if most Americans know that their tax money is going to Israel, at least in those huge quantities. And that sucks because as a school psychologist working in New Orleans schools, I see my kids go home hungry or can't take home textbooks because we don't have money to pay for education. So the answer for me is being Palestinian, but also being American and paying taxes and wanting to have a say in where my taxes go.
And for me, I'm actually not from New Orleans. I'm from San Diego, and living in a border city and being Hispanic and Mexican, not Mexican-American, as an undocumented immigrant, just seeing the violence which, you know, you see with, like, Border Patrol and understanding how fearful, like, my life would be all the time going in certain areas and knowing that, you know, my parents could be detained at any time. And then in college, learning about the Palestinian struggle, like, it really touched home. And a lot of the work that we do in San Diego is solidarity with other oppressed communities, because the same people who are building the border in San Diego are the same people who are building the wall in Palestine and militarizing it. So I think as a global universal message of, you know, anti-war, for peace and for justice, you'd be very surprised. Like, a lot of the members that I've seen with different groups in solidarity with Palestine, the members aren't necessarily Palestinian, like Shireen pointed out. It's just people who are really invested in being anti-war and really helping amplify the message of people who are Palestinian.
Yeah, the peoples of the planet are certainly put into a lot of precarious positions by the kind of they that go around and build these walls and borders and militarize police and all these kind of things that are destroying people and the planet, basically. So what kind of progress, or where do you think that we're at as far as the Palestinian struggle goes? Like, currently, I haven't seen much in the news, but it's not quiet over there, I'm sure.
No, and you don't probably want to pay attention to the news. Those headlines are awful. I will say that in the years I've been doing this work, I am more hopeful now than I have ever been. There is the Boycott and Divestment Sanctions campaign, the BDS campaign, happening all around the world. And we're seeing universities, big stores, big companies, and churches and other religious organizations divesting from Israel, which means they're deciding not to spend money on Israeli products or invest in the country of Israel or businesses in Israel. And that is a lot of economic pressure, many talks. And the occupation is surely funded by money. And so as the BDS campaign grows, we're watching a pretty good reaction. And we've seen boycott and divestment and sanctions work in other cases too, like in South Africa, where parallels have been drawn between the occupation and the South African apartheid. So that's been really exciting to watch. And I think as time goes on, people are learning more about the occupation, how much money it's costing, and the lives that it's costing, and the consistent violation of human rights and child rights. And they're starting to question if that's really worth all the rhetoric that Israel throws out. So.
And just to point out, I read a recent study that showed that 50% of investment, there has been a 50% decline in investment within, you know, the state of Israel. So that BDS movement is huge. It really is huge. And I think you're absolutely right, Shireen, in pointing out that that has been really powerful in kind of, you know, giving like a leveling of power, because, you know, for so long it's been like unquestioned of like the support for Israel and all of these things. But once you start seeing the decrease in investment and all those kinds of things, and also like trying to invest in Palestinian businesses and things coming from Palestine, I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, when I was at the American Studies Association, they just recently had, not recently, I think it's been over a year or two now, signed on to the BDS campaign, but that was very contentious there. There were people that were very much not for the American Studies, which is basically a bunch of academics and professors and stuff that that teach American Studies, which is broad as heck. Mm-hmm. So... But just seeing the fighting going on, and even there was a panel where, you know, they were like Angela Davis was on it and a few other academics whose names I can't remember. And someone who brought up, she didn't sound like she was against it, but she was an Israeli born in England or something like that. And she was just talking about kind of the affect, that word that a lot of the academics like to use a lot, that Israelis have, and the challenge in fighting people that just want to have a home, but it was to a level in that room where people couldn't even they made it seem like they, like she was saying, you have to care about what they think and what they feel over the lives of Palestinian people, which isn't what she was saying. She was just saying this is kind of a barrier that we have to think about in fighting this fight, in trying to win over, because part of all fights is winning over hearts and minds and stuff as well. So what are some of the kind of barriers that you might still see, and what would a vision for like a liberated Palestine look like?
It's a big question. So I'm going to give you my thoughts. I do not speak for all Palestinians, nor as my thought process or opinions the only ones out there. Because there's even contention within the Palestinian community about what the final solution looks like. But right now what we do know is that so many Palestinian lives are being lost. Children are being killed. So many young men jailed for no reason, withheld without knowledge of why they're held, and that needs to end. And the BDS campaign is focused on that, on ending the occupation the way it stands now, and that is its main purpose. It is hard because there is a lot of emotion around the occupation, and there is this false narrative that the occupation means a final resting place for a Jewish people who have been suffering for a long time. This is not true. In fact, there are many Jewish organizations that have a different narrative, the narrative of we can live in one state, and that we can respect all rights, and that Palestinians and Israelis, Jewish or otherwise, because there are also Arab Jews, and there are also Palestinian Israelis, to have a voice together in the government. And so organizations like Jewish Voice for Peace, for example, are not in our name, or other organizations people can research if they're interested. And there's actually a Jewish Voice for Peace chapter here in New Orleans. But for me, personally, I think we are way beyond a two-state solution. Settlements are huge, and there is a lot of terrible violence coming out of settlements right now. And also, there are Palestinians whose homes, they still have keys to their homes that are currently under Israeli law and on Israeli land, illegal or otherwise. And so there is just too much interweaving. And so personally, I think a one-state solution where there is a government who represents both Palestinians and Israelis and Jewish Israelis is important, and where we might be going moving forward. But again, the BDS campaign is about ending the occupation and the violence and consistent violation of human rights by the occupation.
And just to like piggyback off what Shireen said, it's really important to highlight that the reason why that one-state solution seems to be the most viable is because of the violence, and to never take that away from like the paradigm, because the images are really horrifying. And understanding colonialism, I mean, to really understand the violence that is happening in both the West Bank and in Gaza, is to understand what colonial stands for and what supremacy stands for. I mean, here we suffer from a lot of the violence from the colonial times that has a supremacy back in the day, and you still see it now of white supremacy, right? It's the same idea with Zionism. It's a like Jewish only roads, you know, and the settlers taking it upon themselves to kind of be like the Minutemen of here. That's literally the same analogy. And and I think that once it's understood in that paradigm, that it's colonialism, that it's an extermination of indigenous people, that that part, I think when you explain it to people here in the West, I think they really, like in the United States, they're really able to understand that's how it is. Because I think it's framed otherwise. You know, that it's framed as like a contention between two people, and it isn't. It's just a colonial plan of extermination of indigenous Palestinian people. And that's what it is. So
bam,
I think.
Bam, drops the mic on that one. For real. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to totally cut you off, though. Yeah. So is there anything, I do have another guest here that I have to speak with. So is there anything else that you want to leave us with about the Palestinian struggle? And of course, we'll give you one last plug for your upcoming events.
Read more about it, learn more about it, dig a little deeper, go visit.
And if people wanted to get involved with the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook us. Okay. The website's still under development.
But they can find us on Facebook under
New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee, or NOPSC.
Yeah. Okay. And so the first annual New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee Film Festival is going to be this October 23rd to the 25th at Zeitgeist. And there will be a candlelight vigil on the 24th starting at 8 p.m. at Zeitgeist, going to Lee Circle. Where there will be a concert. The concert's at Lee Circle.
No, the concert will be... So the movie Slingshot Hip Hop is showing from 6 to 8, and there will mm-hmm. be a concert from 8 to 10.
Okay.
The candlelight vigil will be happening from 8 to about 9, so okay. and simultaneously, and people can come to the
concert. Okay,
well.
There we go.
Come out, be part of history.
Yes.
Come on.
Thank you so much for coming on. You're always welcome. Thanks. And we wish you much success with your film festival.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.